Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. If you like what you're listening to, please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. Mm-hmm. Before we start, let me make sure I get some thank yous in to some of our patrons.
Yeah.
Because I totally didn't get around to it in the past week or something. Tim P., Rob M., Bart S., Doc K. Awesome. Thank you so much for
your help. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Where would you like to begin? The happy stories? The sad stories?
Okay. I think it's really important for my mental health to start start sad and end happy.
Okay. Let me...
You know what? It's been a rough couple of weeks. Something of an emotional roller coaster. So let's end on a high note.
Okay. We'll end on a high note. Here is... We'll end with Ted Cruz. Let's do that.
Yes.
That's too entertaining.
Oh, it's too much.
We'll come back to it.
We're just living in an Onion article.
We are.
Okay.
Let me start with this story that happened in Australia. There was a Presbyterian church and a straight couple. I don't know their names, but they wanted to get married at a Presbyterian church.
Okay.
They had a minister, his name's Stephen North, who was going to officiate the wedding.
Cool.
And I guess what happened is after they agreed to this... How early in advance do you need to book a minister to do a wedding? Because it's not,
immediately. Friend married me and Mikey. Your friend married you and Courtney.
But I think it's, at least 6 months, if not a year in advance. It's
I feel
a long
like it's the
time.
Same thing as, booking your venue, right?
Yeah.
You just
got to do it a
down that,
while.
Especially if it's, a Saturday in June. Or
exactly.
Whatever the equivalent of June is in Australia. I know it's still June, but I meant the weather.
They don't celebrate June in Australia. So Stephen North said yes to this couple.
Wait, super quick pause. When I was in Australia the first time, it was over Christmas, and they had all the Christmas decorations up, and even though it was the middle of fucking summer, all of, the Christmas, there was, a chimney with, snow on it. It was still snow-themed, but it was 95 degrees outside, and, Santa Claus was still in his little wool suit. Oh, anyway, continue.
That's adorable.
Go ahead.
I want to visit.
Oh, it's the best.
Road trip. I don't know how that works, but it will make it happen.
I swear.
So this minister says, yes, I'll do your wedding.
Yes.
And then the minister, I don't know if he's stalking this couple or he's just trying to find out more about them so he could write something decent.
Sure.
But he finds out that the bride posted something, because we talked about this before. Australia's trying to figure out, they're trying to do gay marriage, same-sex marriage. And they're right now dealing with...
Political commentary from Hemant.
You're welcome.
They're doing gay marriage.
They're going through the postal plebiscite where people have to, fill in their ballot over the mail to say, hey, Parliament, get on this. And maybe
somebody emailed us and
legalized.
Tried to explain what was going on, and I still do not understand.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Yeah. But this bride, in response to all the discussion about same-sex marriage that's going on, she posts on Facebook... I know it's not something everyone's going to agree with me on, and that's fine, but, quote, this is what I stand for in support of it, of same-sex marriage. This is what I stand for, and frankly, it doesn't affect my relationship with my partner one bit. Basically saying, this is why I'm totally fine with marriage equality.
So she's, super dope and cool?
Yes. And so she posts that.
A regular human opinion.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
And it has a heart.
Uh-huh.
And then she hears from the minister.
No.
By continuing to officiate, it would appear either that I support your views on same-sex marriage or that I am uncaring about this matter. As you know, neither statement is correct.
Would it, sir? Is that how that works?
And then he went on, if the wedding proceeded in the Ebenezer St. John's Church...
Wait. We're not going to skip over the fact that a church is called Ebenezer St. John.
Many of them.
That feels like a character I would have made up in high school if I was writing like Dickensian-inspired fiction.
Faith fiction. The same inferences, if you had the marriage in the church, uh-huh. people would think that about the Presbyterian church. Such inferences would be wrong, he said. Which is weird because... Even Catholic couples that go through the counseling with the church ahead of time and they want to get married in the church, I promise you not all of those couples agree with the church on every single thing. So the question is, like, why is this the one that he drew the line on?
I have been to a Catholic wedding wherein one of the members who was getting married was an atheist. And also, fun story, the priest or pastor?
Yeah.
Got his name clean wrong.
Oh, there you go.
Called him Brian. His name is Eric.
Oh, not even
close. So close. So close, white guy.
The point is, like, do you have to agree with every single thing the church stands for if you want to? No.
Yeah, that's definitely a where do you draw the line sort of jam.
Part of me goes both ways on this because this pastor, like, don't tell a couple that you've already said yes to that you're not going to do their wedding because I don't know how soon it was.
Yeah, I feel like that would be something you do up front. Like, if it matters that much to you,
checklist of things you have to agree to.
Right.
But he didn't. He did it later. And then the second part is, if that's one of the deal breakers, why does this couple want to get married in that church? There are other options.
Yeah, I mean, from, like, two sides of a very Catholic family, on my husband's and my side, like, family pressure goes a long fucking way. That said, I don't know anything about Presbyterianism. I don't know if
in this case they're conservative on a lot of social issues anyway.
Yeah.
But what bothered me is
that fucking sucks.
It does suck. Now, the good news is they found another venue. They found another person, I think a retired minister, to do the wedding. So their wedding went off without a hitch. Great.
Sure.
But going back to this issue of how much of their stuff do you have to agree with for the pastor to the minister to say, yes, I'll perform your marriage, and for the couple to say, I want to get married here, like, if you don't agree with what the Presbyterian Church is preaching, why is this so important to you? Is it just family pressure, which is what you're kind of getting?
Like, yeah.
Is that the issue? I don't know.
I mean, just because you believe in a faith doesn't necessarily mean you believe in every single tenet of it, and, you know, maybe the gay marriage thing isn't a deal breaker. For me, it super would be, but, like, I'm not here to talk for anybody else.
Yeah, they didn't care what the church teaches.
Planning a wedding is such a fucking nightmare that you're ready to just appease anybody for any reason.
That is fair.
Also, I'm a minister. Do you think that's valid in Australia? Because I'll come. Oh, they already got married?
They already got married. No. But there are, I think, secular options there, too. Yeah. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know what all the rules are. But it's not like you have to get married in a church. There are other options there.
But I'm saying me personally, if I fly to Australia, can Jessica personally marry them?
I don't know. Well, hey, Australia, help us out.
Yeah. That'll be our tour. Oh, we can just officiate weddings all around the world. Oh, that would be so fun. We can do 7 continents of weddings.
This is a church, by the way, this Presbyterian church, that is very vocal about encouraging members of the congregation to vote against marriage equality in the upcoming thing.
Luck.
So again, I don't know why you want to get married in there, after you've gotten a yes from them,
that's really shitty, and I'm sorry that happened. I'm sure that caused a ton of stress. I can't imagine something like that happening. Also, I'm still fucking baffled that this church is like, no, we're going to stand against this gay marriage thing. This is definitely the hill we're going to die on.
Yes.
Like, it just, I know I say it every week, but, like, guys, whoof, you lost this one. Pack it up.
Right. You're not winning anything here. As one commenter said about this church, the word Ebenezer fits perfectly because it's old and out of touch.
Ebenezer is such an excellent name.
Yeah, and Scrooge also would fit perfectly. So, okay, there's
Ebenezer
that story.
Ebenezer St. John.
Let me tell you about evangelical Christians for a bit here.
Cool.
We know that for a long time, one of the things they love to say about their positions is that they're always consistent. They always believe what the Bible says, no matter how culture changes. Does that sound familiar? Uh-huh. Like, we believe the book of Genesis.
The literal word of conservatism kind of covers that.
Yeah, exactly. So they believe in Genesis. They don't care what science says, mm-hmm. at least certain factions of the evangelical world.
Mm-hmm.
They hold to traditional marriage, mm-hmm. or their version of it. And even though that's changed over time, but that's why they oppose marriage equality. Right. Okay, but that's the one thing. We're consistent. That's what they're saying.
Sure.
But the thing is, they're not consistent.
What?
I know. They haven't been.
The church?
The church. They were racists, like Bob Jones University, we've talked about before.
Sorry, are you saying that in the past tense?
Which part? I don't even...
They were racist?
Oh. They were racist, because I don't know if they are now, but...
They certainly were.
They're the ones who said you can't date interracially on campus.
Oh, on our, yeah.
That didn't change until 1990.
Nice.
Yeah, like, was it 90? Or maybe 2000. It was recent.
Shut the fuck up.
Like, I think George W. Bush, like, it happened during his time that they finally got rid of that.
Oh, my God.
So, but that's a policy that a Christian college held to.
Yeah.
We also, they were against, in some cases, civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. Granted, there were religious leaders who fought for civil rights, but some of the opposition to it came from religious side, too. We talk about abortion. This is interesting. One of my Patheos colleagues, Fred Clark, who writes at Slacktivist, he's been pointing out passages from like a 1975 book on Christian ethics written by a Christian apologist. And one of the fascinating things Fred points out is that in that book, like this textbook of Christian ethics, they kind of have a whole section on when abortion is permissible.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Really?
There are certain cases. And it's not just in the case of the life of the mother, but there are other instances.
Like time constraints or like, oh, you're not married kind of thing.
I don't remember all the specifics, okay. But it goes beyond just life of the mother or... other
non-viable or
yes, exactly. It goes beyond that. So there was a case to be made, a Christian case to be made that okay, abortions could happen,
right?
And then clearly the culture shifted, and social conservative moved along with it. That passage no longer appears in the book.
Uh-oh.
It changed.
No,
and yeah, and Christians no longer cite that edition of the book because it's old and they don't believe that stuff anymore.
Super cool.
But here's. Where this is going. An article in the New York Times came out this week, and they cited a poll that came out by the Public Religion Research Institute that was talking about what do you think about a president's private morality, like what they do outside of office. Does it matter when it comes to electing a president? And when Barack Obama was getting elected, and they did this survey, they said something like 30% of white evangelical Protestants, that big demographic, 30% of them said, and a president who committed an immoral act in private could be ethical in office. So basically,
so
very few of them are saying, look, if you were doing bad things before you were president, you're going to do bad things when you're president. And like, I should judge you based on what you did in your private life when I go to the ballot box.
Right.
And 30% of them said that in 2011.
It's so loaded, isn't it?
Because really?
Like talking about like, did you do something ethical? Like, okay, you smoked cigarettes. I guess that's unethical versus like. Murdered a dude. Like,
there's a difference in what constitutes immorality here. But the interesting is, by 2016, that 30%. Guess what happened? What didn't happen in 2016? That number skyrocketed to 72%, where they say, okay, sure, you did wrong things in your life beforehand, but you know what? I'm sure you'll be fine once you're in office. 30% to 72%. The increase and the number itself were larger for white evangelical Christians than any other religious demographic. So back to your point, Jess, what changed in that time?
Wait, let me think. Okay, I'm going to think long and hard about this. Well, I got a different job. Do you think that could be it?
That's not what changed the numbers.
Oh, it's not? Okay. No. I can't think of anything.
I know. Nothing else happened in 2016.
No.
But it's just an amazing reversal. And again, I've seen people jokingly say like, well, I guess the president got a little paler. That might have something to do with it.
It's such flagrant fucking racism that it's...
Part of that.
It's so embarrassing that they're so like... No, that's not it. It has nothing to do with that. Like, it's just this... And I don't know. And I still don't know if it's... If it's subconscious or like he is black, therefore probably a bad guy.
And again, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here. I think it's
You're
more
so nice.
That he
You're
was
so
a
much nicer
he was
than
a Democrat
me.
And Trump's a Republican, so he's their party. But all of a sudden, the guy from your party who has done all these supposedly immoral things according to your beliefs,
right,
now you don't care because you know he'll give you what you want.
Yeah, I would actually be interested to look at, like, not even major party nominees, but, like, kind of front runners and look at, because I'm thinking of, obviously, your Donald Trumps, your Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
Who famously have been married
multiple times,
a half a dozen times between the two of them. And I'm wondering, and I can think of what, Edwards.
Who John, left, Edwards, John Edwards, the Democrat.
The Democrat left his dying wife or something. Not super great.
He had his own
problems. I can't think of a ton of Democrat. I guess really in my adult life, it's mostly.
I mean,
been.
There's Anthony Weiner too, who's committed all sorts of things. But here's the thing: none of them are going around.
That's a good point.
The Democrats usually aren't going around telling
the moral high ground.
Yeah, we're not the more moral. We're not going to tell you what to do in the bedroom or not do in the bedroom. That's a Republican thing. Katha Pollitt, the author, she's at the Freedom From Religion Foundation conference this weekend. One of the things she said that people were quoting it on Twitter. I just loved it. She says, "It's astonishing. The least religious president ever is courting the religious right to create a theocracy." Isn't that the entire administration in a nutshell?
It really is. And I mean, the right, the so-called moral right, this religious right, they lost any semblance of a moral high ground. There's no fucking way they can pretend that it's about anything other than, like, fucking over poor people and gay people and women and people of color. Because, no, like, even in your most generous paintings of Donald Trump, even if you're giving him every benefit of the doubt, he has still done some objectively garbage things. Like, he is objectively a bad dude.
Yeah, I mean, in business, he's a bad dude. He's not good at his job.
He's not good at his job. He's
the way he's conned defrauded people.
He's a bad guy. And
the broken promises, the racism, the sexual assaults, the bigotry. I mean,
he's pretending to be Christian, which, like, anybody with, like, their wits about them can see that he's bullshitting on that. And so don't you feel like the right is playing this big charade of, like, they have to know that Trump is in no way a man of God and certainly not moral in any way. But they have these married goals of, well, fuck brown people. So, like, the enemy.
Or that they don't care enough. That I think the overarching principle, it's not so much the fuck brown people. It's more of the Trump will give us the anti-abortion judges we want. He will appoint them.
I don't know if it's even
I think that's what they want more than anything else. And they will let everything else slide because I don't think they care. I mean, I think there's a lot of evangelicals who can make the case for why you should keep the DACA kids here.
Yeah.
Why you should not.
But wait, when you say that, are you saying, like, politicians are yoking themselves to him? Or because in my head, I'm thinking about, like, just Joe Schmo on the street.
I think Republicans are yoking themselves to him because they think they can get what they want from him.
Ultimately,
they can pass their tax cuts.
Game.
And they'll get their whatever big issues, tax cuts that they want to get. Trump will sign off on it because he doesn't know anything about these issues. So if they give it to him, he'll say, all right, I'll sign it. Look, I did something.
No, but I'm thinking of, like, just Christians who live in the South who aren't politicians. Maybe I'm not giving them enough credit, but I don't think they're saying, oh, if we just elect Trump, he'll definitely, like, take care of the Supreme Court. Like, that doesn't feel like because I feel like a lot of those votes for Trump were very emotional.
I think I would differentiate between those people who may not care necessarily about abortion and only abortion versus the Christian right leaders who run these large organizations who know all the things that are going on.
Sure.
They know enough about the game. Yes. And they have the power to do that. For them, the abortion issue matters more than anything. And they know that Trump will play that game with them.
Yeah.
So they will pretend he is the best evangelical or that learning, even though the evidence points the other way. They will deal with the bigotry and the white supremacy and all that stuff. They'll put up with it because he's giving them the judges. And you know what? He's done it. Not just Neil Gorsuch, but he's given them the federal judges. He's appointed or nominated anyway.
Yeah.
So many of them, and they're horrible one after the other. They are very much like the judicial activists that we always hear about.
Mm-hmm.
They want that. And what's stunning to me is, like, okay, the numbers that came out after the election, 81% of white evangelical Christians supported Trump. 81%, like higher than any demographic, I think, minus like black Protestants who went in Hillary's direction. But when you look at some of the things where you talked about, they lost their moral authority. There are some evangelical leaders who are totally not on board with the Trump train. And you would think these people can be the voices of reason mm-hmm. in that community. And they're not. Like, just to take one, Russell Moore, who runs like a part of the Southern Baptist Convention's like ethical arm. Mm-hmm. He is a big voice in that community. He has fervently been anti-Trump.
Yeah.
And then this is the guy who signs like that Nashville statement against LGBT people.
Right.
So like, you're not reasonable. There's no reason I should look up to you or think of you as a credible person right. on morality, because you're a horrible person otherwise.
So I've actually been thinking about this a lot with regard to the abortion thing specifically and sort of science in general. And we talk about, I think there's conversations that are had frequently of like, oh, if somebody doesn't believe in X, whether it's evolution, whether it's like the fact that the earth is fucking round or whatever. And I think there are people who are willing to dismiss that of like, oh, they have kooky beliefs or whatever. And I think there's an argument to be made that when we elect these anti-science people and anti-reason people, not only are we dealing with like the environmental repercussions, right? Or the, you know, teaching kids science in our class repercussions, but when you have somebody who hears scientific studies and just is able to completely dismiss them out of hand, I think that's where we end up with these kind of draconian abortion laws. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, abortions dropped under Obama dramatically because time and time again, we've proved the things that reduce abortions are education and contraception. And
access to all of that
access
stuff.
Obama gave them access
to birth control.
And lo and behold, abortion went down. Mm-hmm. And so when you have somebody who's like, oh yeah, these scientists say that the earth is however many years old, but I think it's only 6,000 years old. They are like, there was nothing I can say. There's nothing anybody can say. Be like, look at these numbers. Like, look at how the world looks.
If you follow Obama's policies, abortion will go down.
Right.
They're predetermined not to follow
because
that line
of thinking.
Because
they've decided what they believe in. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And like, it's
the funny thing is, Obama was a Christian. He was proudly a Christian. He could cite the Bible. Right. He could talk about it. But they're going with the immoral, unprincipled racist because he treats them and gives them the lip. He treats them well, gives them the lip service they want,
well,
and appoints the judges they want. Like,
oh my God,
they're siding with him.
Okay. I just thought of a metaphor and I want you to go with me because this might be the dumbest thing I've ever said.
Go for it.
Okay. You know the movie Casablanca?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
I have.
What?
I know. It's been a long time.
Okay. So the lead actor is Humphrey Bogart, I think.
Sure, go for it.
You have a computer, look it up, make sure I'm right.
Uh-huh.
So there's a scene toward the end where Humphrey Bogart is like looking, or whoever the, God, I hope it's him.
It is.
Yes, fuck yeah. Go downstairs and tell Mikey I did good on movies. whatever, he's watching Batman versus Superman downstairs.
It's the same thing.
Does not get to
what's your metaphor?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, it's been a long week. So there's a scene where he's looking over the balcony and it's supposed to be this like meaningful, it's a swell of music. He's watching, I think, Ingrid Bergman leave or something like that. And it's supposed to be this moment of like, oh, all of his feelings. And what the director said to him when he was direct, and this could be apocryphal, but it's an interesting story. What the director said to him was, just look completely blank. Make your face look as blank as possible and people will project their own feelings onto you. And my metaphor is this. When Trump talks, he barely says words. And I feel like there's an element of that that's like people just pull out what they want to hear.
That's why white supremacists can say he's talking to us.
Yes.
Even though Trump is saying, no, I didn't say that.
No, I never talked to you. But I think it's the same idea that people are so willing to project their own views onto somebody else.
If they're getting what they want from him.
Right. And when you have somebody who speaks as vaguely as Trump does, it's easy to be... It's like, not Nosferatu. Who's the guy who predicted shit.
Nostradamus.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Nosferatu was in the neighborhood.
Close enough.
No, you're not like the his prophecies.
Have some more wine.
Shut up. Listen, I've had a hell of a couple weeks, Hemet. I deserve this wine.
Going back
to
the...
They're just written so vaguely that you can just pull whatever the fuck. That was my point.
As I'm watching Hillary Clinton do her rounds after, now that her book is out too, she is very specific about, you know, groups she condemns and the people she's talking about and what countries are doing around the world. How do you respond to North Korea? Like, yeah. She is specific about these things. Criticize her all you want and stuff, but you're not going to get any equivocation on some of these things where there's really just one answer.
Right.
And you're right. The Trump, like, I'm trying to please everybody.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if Democrats are pouncing on that now because they can get something from him, that's the thing. Like, well, if he just wants a victory, we'll give him the lip service he wants since he seems to love that.
But even that, like, they said, he worked with us and we figured out DACA. And then he's, like, tweeting, like, nah, actually, super no.
He's his own worst enemy.
God, he's the fucking pits.
Anyway, speaking of, I don't know where I'm going with that. Let me tell you about this one that involves Catholic hospitals, because we've talked about those in the past.
Catholic hospitals bum me
out. It's a weird story, because one of the problems with Catholic hospitals is that you have to, many problems, you have to adhere to their rules when it comes to medical services, and their rules aren't based on what's good for the patients. Yeah. It's based on, are you following Catholic doctrine?
God, so, it is 2017, and hospitals are still like,
one out of every six beds in a hospital, in theory, in the entire country, is Catholic run. Like, they are gaining. Catholic hospitals are taking over the country. So all the secular hospitals in your community are very likely being gobbled up by Catholic, like, giant medical groups. But here's the problem. Yeah. We know this is a problem when it comes to, they don't do birth control. Yeah. They don't do abortions. If a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, they're not going to save her. Like, you have to go somewhere else if you need that. And not all women have that option of going wherever they want to go to. So it's not about what's best for the patients.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is that here's a story that in Eureka, California, there was a group of urologists who take care of men, and a Catholic, and these were the only urologists in that county. They joined the St. Joseph Health Medical Group.
Sounds Catholic.
Yes, it is. And because of that, they are no longer allowed to provide vasectomies to their male patients. And the thing is,
really fighting that good fight, Catholic
Church. I think according to whatever research I was reading, like, of the eight physicians in that county that perform vasectomies, six of them don't do it anymore because now their bosses are basically the Catholic Church, people in the Catholic Church. And so think about this. The safest way to make sure there are no unwanted pregnancies, to make sure there are no abortions, they're taking that one off the table. Because if you're Catholic, you believe in family planning and you believe, like, well, if you just have sex at the right time of the month, then everything will be fine. That's their version of safe sex.
No Catholics have ever had an uh-oh baby.
Yeah, no.
Wait, I'm married to one. Is that inappropriate?
He can't hear us. But that means, like, they don't do tubal ligations either for women. And they're making it more likely that more unwanted babies are going to be born, which in a lot of these cases are going to result in abortions, which goes back to what you were saying earlier. Like, they're doing the very things that go against their stated goals.
Yeah.
It's stupid. And again, this is a vasectomy. This isn't even in the world of everything's an abortion. This isn't even you killing a baby.
Yeah, that's
this
not
is
even
you preventing a pregnancy from taking place.
So what would the justification be?
You are messing with God's design. You're messing with God's design by having a vasectomy, by saying...
But what about, like, oh, if my appendix bursts? Like, are they just going to... at what point, why are you running a fucking hospital if you want God to, like, take the wheel on that? Because, I don't know, like, I feel like before hospitals, God had a lot of say, and people lived to, like, 14 years old, and they had, like, seven grandchildren by then.
That's
like,
a fair point.
It's fucking garbage. This... If you...
Yes.
Fuck.
I don't know what the justification is why sexual things have to be forbidden, but nothing else is. But
the
that
Catholic
sounds...
Church is so obsessed with sex. So you know why? Here we go. Here's another theory I've got.
Go for it.
It's because it's run by a bunch of 80-year-old virgins, and like you know how like teenage boys are, all they do is think about sex because they can't have it and they're not having it. So all they do is thinking about it and everything's preoccupied about sex. These guys have been doing that for 60 fucking years. And so all they can think about is like, but banging though, it's probably pretty cool.
One explanation that's online is just you're messing with something that's not technically broken. Your appendix burst, you need medical help. But just wanting to get your tubes tied or your vasectomy, like that, there was nothing wrong with it. You weren't going to die or something. So why are you messing with God's design?
That's, hey, Hammond, we talk about a lot of dumb shit on this podcast. That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. God.
So the problem here is not just that these people are doing it in California. It's that this is what's happening in a lot of cities, which is that Catholic hospitals are taking over so many places and making it. And again, if you're a doctor, this is kind of like job security. Like you're working for a large group. You can do more when you're part of a large group than just having a private practice where you focus on one thing. You can do referrals to your colleagues in that group. So it's good for their business, but it's bad for the people that they're trying to serve.
Yeah. What's the fuck? Who cares about the patients after all? It's definitely about business. Capitalism is a super cool system.
What's the Hippocratic Oath? Do no harm. Unless you're working at a Catholic hospital, in which case, whatevs.
No, capitalism and medical care definitely go well together.
You said you wanted to end on a happy story or a deeply depressing, disturbing story.
Was that the last one?
No.
There's more depressing stuff.
I got one more that I definitely want to bring up.
Wait, hold the fucking phone. Uh-huh. Is this next one the last one?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to end on this note when I specifically asked you not to end on a bummer.
No. We'll end on Ted Cruz.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. This is not that one.
That's the light at the end of the tunnel.
Let's go back a year or two. Josh Duggar. I waited until you were about to take a sip before I said that.
Oh, God. Haven't I saw this headline on the blog, and I'm not sure if I... Okay.
So Josh Duggar, years ago, we know he, long time ago, basically molested his sisters. He did molest his sisters.
The Duggars were on a reality TV show of a Quiverful family. I don't know if they used that. They had a million kids.
19 kids and counting was the name of the show.
Yeah, and then the oldest brother?
Josh, I think, is the oldest. And basically, he molested four of his younger sisters and I think one of their friends.
One of their friends, yeah.
And this all came out. The police report came out in the public eye a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was obsessed with reading about this.
The show
story
was canceled. His life was basically over. There was more scandal attached to his name later.
Yeah, good. Because he ruined five people's lives that moment. Okay.
But they only sued him. Like, the only reason this became an issue is not because they, like, reported it when it happened, but because this became public. Because apparently In Touch Weekly, the news publication, which is not known as like
the hard-hitting journalism outfit.
They got the records from the police.
They're like the Boston Globe, but national scale.
Exactly. They broke the news. What's happening now, this is where it gets a little strange. I mean, they published this stuff, and then it became an issue because then the girls had to talk about how come you didn't pursue this, and then Josh was sent to Christian rehab, which doesn't really do anything. Anyway, that's old news. Here's the...
Quick... What were the reports from a doctor or from a therapist or from a priest?
The police reports from when I think the cop was called over it or something.
But who called the cop, I wonder?
I don't know if it was the kids or the friend. It's been a long time since I looked into that.
Yeah, no,
part.
I haven't either. Okay, so it's police. Okay, go ahead.
The bigger story was that it became public, and that's what they were afraid of, and that's when they lost everything. The family did. Now, what's going on now is the four sisters are actually suing city officials, the police, the publishers of In Touch Weekly, not, by the way, Josh Duggar, because he's family. They're suing all those other people for letting this become public. Like, the police shouldn't have given anybody their police report. The city officials shouldn't have made it public. The publishers of In Touch Weekly shouldn't have publicized it. They're mad that their private issue was made public. So they're arguing that this is a breach of privacy. It should have been kept secret.
I'm not against that. That is,
aren't those, like, police reports public record though?
Are they?
I don't know. We're not lawyers.
No, I don't know. I'm obviously not here to say anything besides if I were sexually assaulted and filed a police report about it, I wouldn't be super fucking thrilled if it was splashed across In Touch Weekly.
That's a fair point. And what I'm commenting on here, what we're talking about, is not whether their lawsuit is right or wrong, whether the privacy was breached. Where it gets interesting is that Josh Duggar wants in on this suit because the argument is that publicizing this lawsuit ruined his life.
Yeah.
Hi, victims. But, like, he wants in on this. But the sisters are telling the court, don't let his case be with ours because we don't want to see this guy. We don't want to deal with him. We don't want him sitting in court next to us. The lawyers for the sisters said, deciding claims based on protecting victims of sex crimes from disclosure, while at the same time having those claims consolidated with the perpetrator of those crimes, will be confusing to the jury.
Whoa.
Is their argument here.
Whoo, that was a twist at the end
huh? I know. They don't want to confuse the jury because you're saying, hey, this is the guy who molested me.
Yeah, us we're the victims. Can't be trusted.
Jury can't understand why we're on the same side of this issue, so they want to do it separately. They actually...
I'm pretty fucking sympathetic for this invisible jury.
I know. The consolidation, they said, would undoubtedly give the false impression that the victims and the perpetrators are, quote, in this together. Yeah, the sisters actually said, we will be further traumatized if he is allowed to join our lawsuit.
Yeah, and yeah, you know what? Uh-huh.
I get that. It would be adding insult to injury here. Jesus. I don't know whether the claims that they're making are valid, but it's just another twist in this already messed up story that all of a sudden Josh molested his sisters, and now he wants to sue with them. Because this got public. And so he's like, hey, victims, let me side with you so that we could talk.
Fucking monster.
It's just messed up all around.
Fucking monster. Like, I don't know, man. I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, what has to happen for people to be like, oh, maybe, like, this super pure garbage and not telling kids about sex and letting them... try to figure shit out on their own and not explain what sexual boundaries are, or being told that every kind of sex is dirty, so like incest is no more or less sinful than it would be. Like, when are we gonna be like, hey guys, that shit doesn't work? Like, maybe just telling kids sex exists and that there are appropriate places and people with whom to perform it. Maybe that's better than just saying, hey, any dirty thought you have, if you look at boobies, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
14-year-old boy. Like, good luck out there in the world. Like, it's just, why do we let this keep happening? Why do we let somebody who is...
They live in a bubble. They live in this insulated world. They don't want the outside world involved. So I think even going to the police would not necessarily be an option for a lot of women in that world who are the victims of this sort of thing. So they keep it to themselves, or they only talk to a minister or something about it. And so this stuff continues. I mean, we see it continuing in those instances. I mean, it happens outside the bubble too,
yeah,
but at least
no,
we're talking about that. But you don't hear these stories all the time.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't, just like, at what point are we going to, at what point are reasonable people going to come together and be like, hey, maybe we should be looking out for kids who should not be victimized by people in their own fucking family. Yeah. Like,
hopefully Josh just won't be able to join in on their suit and let them proceed on their own.
In fucking jail.
That too. Let them do their lawsuits on their own and see what happens. I do want, this is unrelated to that, but I want to quote something that I just read yesterday. There is a guy named Rob Boston who works for Americans United for Separation of Church and State. He's been their communications director. I think that's his title for many, many years. He's awesome. He's a guy I always go to if I need advice on something or what do you think about this issue? Mm-hmm. I've gone to him for that stuff. He just wrote an essay about kind of his career in church-state separation when it comes to public schools. It was published in a journal called The Education, Law, and Policy Review. And I was reading this article yesterday, and there was a portion of it where he summarized kind of the history of prayer in schools and the response from the religious right. Like, how do they treat this issue? And I wanted to quote it to you because I was laughing hysterically as I was reading this thing. And he says, I used to do a lot of talk radio. From that, I learned that lots of people cling to a story about religion in public schools that, while it confirms their pro-faith bias, has little connection to reality. In a nutshell, the story goes something like this. We had prayer and Bible reading in our schools for hundreds of years. No one complained. Then a loudmouth atheist named Madeline Murray O'Hare came along in the early 1960s, mm-hmm. possibly backed by Soviet Russia. She filed a lawsuit to end prayer in schools. The super liberal Supreme Court agreed, and since then, our public schools have been God-free zones. A kid can't even say God bless you if his friend sneezes.
Yeah.
This explains why we have so many school shootings.
Again.
That's the religious right take on prayer in public schools in a nutshell. I love it.
Oh, my God. That's so excellent.
And then, by the way, that's the rest of that article was spent debunking all of these myths because they are all myths.
That is very, very good.
It's a very good article. We'll post that article for anyone who wants to read it.
Oops, sorry.
It's all good. So anyway, that was entertaining. I'm ready to go to Ted Cruz because where do you...
Actually, before we do that, I just wanted to thank everybody for their nice... words that we've gotten some nice emails and some nice tweets, and I appreciate it. And
your feedback's always appreciated.
Yeah, it was very nice. I appreciate everybody's feedback, and it was confirmed that it was a suicide, and it was definitely a Catholic funeral, so there was just a lot of baggage going on there for Jessica. But again, thank you. I'm glad to hear that some people felt better hearing me talk about my own issues with depression, and I hope everybody's staying well. Let's talk about porn!
Good transition.
Thank you.
So Ted Cruz, a couple nights ago on his Twitter account, he liked a porn account, a video on a porn account. Apparently, the Twitter account just posts porn.
I thought you were about to get really demure on me just now, like
no.
a porn.
No. They post videos, like porn videos on Twitter, which is weird because you don't usually...
Really weird.
Yeah. But he liked one of those videos, which... You're a senator. You're the Christian senator. You're the guy who loves telling other people what to do and not do in their bedrooms. And this is what you're doing at night? Interesting.
Do we know what time it was?
Because it was late at night.
Oh, I was going to say, if it happened at 3 p.m, nope. It would just make my entire life. So here's the thing. If you want to watch porn, like you do you, Mr. Cruz. But, God, this is the funniest fucking thing that I've ever heard in my entire goddamn life. You know how easy it is not to like porn on Twitter?
Do you know how many clicks you have to make to like it?
Yeah. I don't like porn on Twitter literally every day of my entire life. I have a 100% success rate.
At not liking
those
tweets.
At not liking porn.
Yeah.
Also, why would you want porn on your Twitter feed? Like, don't you check that shit at work?
And the funny thing is, like, it's like Donald Trump saying, I didn't mean to retweet this thing. You have to click twice to retweet something. It's not an accident.
Yeah. And that and liking... shit doesn't come up by accident.
Yeah. So the funny,
so it was
some of the comments.
Porn video.
It was one specific video.
Can you tell me anything about this video?
It involved, I think, two women and a teacher.
God damn it! I was really hoping it would be gay porn.
No,
like interracial gay porn.
The comment that I heard is, "Huh, he likes quote unquote normal porn." That's the strangest thing I know about Ted Cruz now, because everything else about him is batshit crazy.
That's excellent. That's so good. What is happening in the world?
Yeah.
Why do I know what kind of porn Ted Cruz likes? What's happening?
Yeah. So, here's the thing about this.
Oh, boy.
I wouldn't care. Nobody should care. Nobody cares Ted Cruz watches in his private life, except Ted Cruz.
No, I would care that a senator is so irresponsible with his internet browsing that he accidentally liked something on his like public Twitter feed. I do think that is fucking suspect.
Is he following
suspect.
This Twitter feed? I don't think he's following this Twitter
so
feed, which means he
searched it out. Yeah. Or he was watching a video and accidentally hit like the like button in the corner, which I assume they have.
Which automatically feeds your Twitter account?
Maybe.
I didn't know they do that.
I feel like when you're watching like YouTube.
Yeah.
And like you can...
I can't like something automatically on YouTube where it just goes to my account and says I like it, but...
Well, no, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm like, on Jezebel or whatever, I can just hit like on Facebook, and it'll just pop up to my Facebook.
Oh,
maybe it's that. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt on this, but, dude, lock your shit down. Use different accounts. Like, this isn't difficult.
I think he later blamed an intern or something, sure. And again, this isn't about...
That would actually be even better.
Which of Ted Cruz's interns is watching it?
I mean, it's like some 19-year-old intern is like in his office jerking it. This is all so good. There's nothing about this I don't love. And it's like...
It gets funnier the more you think about it.
It does! Because he's such an asshole! And he's so fucking prudish! And his face looks like that! And he's the Zodiac Killer!
Which you would think would lead to some more non-traditional choices.
Yeah, man, if he was watching like snuff porn,
right?
Ooh,
that
would confirm.
That would have made more sense, yeah. But that's not what he was doing.
I will say, like, I am disappointed that sounds like pretty white bread porn. Like, ooh, I wish he was getting into some weird shit.
Mrs. Betty Bowers, Ted Cruz is a porn again Christian. That was
well
good.
Done.
Well done.
Well done.
He's the Zodiac Killer. Come on.
Zodiac?
Come on, he got hacked is what he was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's not his best work.
And again, the bigger issue here is...
Zodiac Killer, it's right there.
That's much better.
Thank you.
The issue isn't that he's watching this stuff, it's that he's moralizing about all of this stuff when anyone else does anything about sex. If you're a gay couple doing anything in your bedroom, he wants to stop you from doing it. He doesn't... He wants abstinence-only sex education. He actually filed some sort of... I got to double-check on this, the headline said he's someone who passed a bill saying, like, he wants to stop you from masturbating.
Oh, cool.
Which, again, I think that's a different... It's part of a bigger picture. That's not the whole story.
This is my favorite thing. Like, nothing makes me more gleeful. There's a very specific emotion I get that's, like, rage and glee.
Mm-hmm.
Glage, I'm going to call it.
Sure.
Anyway, that happens time and time again when these, like, old white dudes with, like, just metal rods shoved up their ass and who are so fucking obsessed with what everybody else is doing in the bedroom and in their personal time and in their personal space. And then they're always, time and time again, it's these dickbags who get caught, like... Stipping the paper boy. That's not a reference.
Or tapping their toes in the bathroom at the airport.
And I cannot be more clear. Like, I do not give a flying fuck if these people are gay, but this weird self-loathing thing or this idea of, like, none of you should be doing these bad things. I do it, but it's the same thing as, like, there's no such thing as a moral...
It's okay when I do it, but
right, there's
no
such thing as a moral abortion except for my abortion. Like, my situation is different. You're pervies. Like, it just... Oh, no, I just pictured it. No! Say something else. I can't. Oh, his dumb face.
Ted Cruz.
Stop it. Do you think he wears the Zodiac pillowcase over his...
You're having way too much fun with this.
Couple weeks of it. I needed this so bad. I've earned this. This is like if I were a believing lady, I would think that God gifted Ted Cruz liking porn on his public Twitter account, like into my hands, like a little golden dove.
I was wondering whether he was going to get rid of that. The
and
intern.
He left it up for a fucking minute.
Yeah, but I guess he already fired his staff.
His whole.
I'll be going home now.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. Oh, that was a lot for me to deal with. Oh, my God. Okay.
I'm a dad.
You are a dad.
You're welcome.
Have we congratulated you on the air for your baby?
I'm tired. Don't congratulate me.
He's a cute baby. Oh, no, yeah, because he was in the room last time I recorded. Your baby has already heard me swear a lot.
Hey, that explains his first words. Zodiac killer.
All right. Let's do all the things. You can follow me at Twitter. I'm at Blueberry, BlueBurie.
I'm at Heaven Meta. Like us on Patreon, patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast.
My Etsy shop is Bitches Get Stitched Done. Use offer code atheist for, I think, 15% off, maybe a different amount. I don't necessarily remember.
And I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, the project I'm working on, it's a book project that's coming out soon. We are so close to launching it, wrapping up some loose ends. And man, I can't wait to announce this to you.
Do we have anything else going on?
I should.
Oh, we talked about Patreon. Oh, I might start to do a thing where I do some episodes that are Patreon only, like with my friend Anne again or with my brother. So you can donate like $1 a month and
you'll get access to just those episodes.
Yeah. We already have one that I did with my brother a couple months ago. And I'm planning on a couple more soonish.
Very cool. I should say for anyone in a couple of weeks, like mid-October, I'll be speaking at the PastaCon conference, which is in Pennsylvania somewhere. my schedule right now is what am I doing in the next hour, and do I have to feed something?
So many mouths.
I'll think about it more in 2 weeks.
Can we go to Skepticon?
It's during my coaching season, so I can't go, but you should go. It's a really good conference.
Can I go?
You can go.
Can Friendly Atheist send me?
Done.
Yes.
And
Ross Blotcher is going to be there. He keeps beating me at Words with Friends.
And also at the end of October, I'll be giving a talk in Boston, ironically, because we were there not long ago.
Yeah, I was.
So at the very end of
Nobody
October.
Nobody asked me to speak anywhere.
Finally came together. And then I'm done for like the next several months while I coach stuff.
Cool. So, okay. Well, guys,
thanks all.
Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next time.
All right. And we'll post all the information that we're talking about on the website.
Specifically cool. that Tech Race Born.
We'll post the video
just
for you.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.